So today is, speaking of the arts, today is the fifth weekday of the KSFR Fun Drive. Today is the day when the fabulous and inimitable Robert Knott graces us with his presence, but we have even more grace at this table right now. We are joined by Robert Knott, who is director of the play at the Santa Fe Playhouse called I Hate Hamlet. And we're also joined by actors in this play, Jonathan Richards and Matt Sanford. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is a play about John Barrymore, but before we talk about John Barrymore, we're going to ask people to give a call and contribute to KSFR, contribute to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, contribute to public radio in the fullness of its glory, not only glory, but real capacity as a vehicle for public media and for public events like theater in Santa Fe. 4281393 is the number, and what we are doing is hoping and asking that everybody who's listening right now, who regularly listens to this show, will give a call and make a contribution to KSFR. So before we start talking about I Hate Hamlet, why should people contribute to KSFR?
Why should they contribute?
We're having a headphone problem.
I'll tell you then, because my headphone is working.
All right.
You should contribute to KSFR so that we can continue to have Mary Charlotte come on the air every weekday. And
give me a sound engineer.
And you know, she can afford a sound engineer. She won't have to carry her own equipment. We want to streamline. We want to go first class on this operation.
Yeah, we're going first class, and she made sure to make sure my volume was down, or one of you two miscreants did it. How could you not want to give to KSFR? Everyone listens to it. It supports the entire community. You always have this wide array of really smart, intelligent people on there. Sometimes you even have me. And I don't see why anyone wouldn't want to contribute. It's not always that hard to do. And as we often joke about, you and I, no donation is too small, right?
That is right.
I mean, if you only have $10, send it in.
Yeah. And if you have $10 a month, so much the better. A lot of people have been doing that, and that's a really awesome way to give.
Great.
It should also be pointed out that no donation is too large either.
That is also very true.
What are you looking at me for when you say that line?
It has never been tested.
What's never been tested?
The donation. Upper limits of donation.
Oh, I see. Okay. So.
Yeah, we've never gotten to that point. 4281393 is the number, and we are setting a $1,500 goal for this hour. So if you love Robert Knott and you love Jonathan Richards and Matt Sanford, and I know that there are people who are fans of all three of you.
Usually for women.
For different reasons and in different ways.
Oh, yes.
The number is 4281393, 428-1393 here in Santa Fe. So let's get the phones ringing. Especially if you've been listening all week. There are people who've been listening all week and have not yet donated. This is the day for you.
Her voice is giggly because Matt Sanford's tickling her. She put me on the other side of the table, so I can't reach her.
When it's just you, you always say that you're the one who's tickling me. But if you were tickling me, Robert Knott, or if Matt Sanford were, or anybody else were doing so, you would have to peel me off the ceiling.
Are you easily ticklish?
Yes.
Boys, let's get to work.
They're threatening me. Help. Help. 4281393. 4281393. So we are I'm giving the number because I want you to call it, not because I like saying it. I like saying it. But please call it and make a donation to KSFR.
And we want
to
give away. What's that number again?
428.
You know.
13. What's the number?
I need to.
Matt is smart. He's not saying anything. I'm already in trouble with the phone number. Why do you have to bring that up? The number
4281393.
See, Matt Sanford.
Yay!
The hope for tomorrow.
I've just got some hopes for today and tonight.
I had an anytime treat.
I weep for the future.
Yeah, don't we all? Anyway, please give a call to KSFR and let's get the phone ringing. And people can. We have two and only two pairs. Of tickets to I Hate Hamlet. So you may want to listen to the program for the next few minutes and see if this is a play that you would like to go see. And if so, you can make a contribution to KSFR and get a pair of tickets for this play. So it's I Hate Hamlet and starring Jonathan Richards as John Barrymore. Now this is, what do you have a John Barrymore thing?
I think if I do John Barrymore one more time, I get to retire him.
You've done a lot of Barrymore stuff.
I've done Barrymore once before. Robert and I, about maybe 10 years ago, did the play Barrymore one hell of a life. In this one, Barrymore plays, certainly shares the time, if not plays second fiddle to the character that Matt plays. He's really the one that does the yeoman's work on stage from the opening bell to the closing bell of the play. He plays...
Is that a mixed metaphor?
It is a bit of a mixed metaphor.
The yeoman and the boxing ring?
You know, well, there have been yeomen in the boxing ring. The play is about a young television actor who's just come off a hit TV show and is summering by playing Hamlet in Shakespeare in the Park in New York's Central Park.
Not without great reservation, I might add.
Yes, yeah.
Well, no, the people have to make the reservations to come see the show. Keep talking.
So he is having cold feet about having taken on this job of playing the English language's most difficult role on the basis of being essentially Dr. Kildare on television.
Dr. Kildare?
Well, the show was called L.A. Medical, but it's similar. It's a 1990s version of Dr. Kildare, or the one with Chad Everett, whatever that was.
Young Doctors in Love, one of those kind of things.
Yeah, kind of ER all over again.
And so wait a minute, you're a medical soap opera star.
Yes, basically.
Okay.
Not prime time.
It's a
Chicago Hope kind of thing.
Drama.
He's George Clooney.
Yeah, none of that daytime garbage.
Right, got it.
And he has come to New York to play Hamlet, and his real estate agent has taken for him, sight unseen, John Barrymore's old apartment in the Village. And when he starts getting cold feet and trying to back out of doing Hamlet, the ghost of John Barrymore appears and with tough love kind of bullies him through the process.
And we should probably do like a minute of background, if you would, too, on who Barrymore was, John.
John Barrymore, best known today as Drew Barrymore's grandfather, was considered the greatest American Hamlet in the first part of the 20th century. He was the youngest of three siblings, Ethel, Lionel, and John Barrymore, all great actors in that period, in the first half of the 20th century. But John was considered the lightweight of the family. He was very good-looking and very inclined to drink and very inclined to not take himself or his work seriously until he was kind of in the same way that he tough love bullies Andrew Rowley in this play into playing Hamlet. He was bullied or coaxed or convinced by a friend of his to take himself seriously as an actor and to undertake the role of Hamlet, for which he felt totally unprepared, but he worked very hard at doing it and actually pulled off a Hamlet which was a huge critical success and deeply influenced the next generation of British actors like Olivier and Gielgud, who saw him in London playing Hamlet, played Broadway, and then it went to London, and he really knocked their socks off, and it was the benchmark American Hamlet.
And he was about 43 when he actually played Hamlet, and then he had, as some people will know if they watch Turner Classic Movies, a pretty lengthy film career with a lot of well-known pictures like Dinner at Eight, Grand Hotel, 20th Century, and then some lesser-known B pictures that really reduced his career to something of being a laughingstock in the late 30s. He died, I think he was about 60, in 1942, I think in New York City, which is where the brownstone that Andrew Rowley in the play rents. And so, you know, that background of who Barrymore is sort of informs the play and his relationship with Andrew. And there's a sword fight.
And there's a sword fight, which you directed and choreographed because you've done a lot of that kind of thing.
Actually, I always let the guys do it. People think I do it, but I think the actors always put together the sword fights, and I try to praise them. And once in a while, I'll say, that looks good, that doesn't. I'm not getting up there with these two madmen swinging swords at one another.
I have to say that Matt was really the quarterback on this this sword fighting thing.
He was the quarterback in the ring.
In the quarterback in the ring with the yeoman.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's always a collaborative effort working on plays with Robert. This is maybe our 10th show together. I'm not even sure anymore. We've done so many.
About 8, yeah.
It's my second time working with John. We had been in our Ironweed Productions, Our Town, 2 years ago? But we didn't have much of a lot of time on stage together.
We did not have a sword fight.
Wait a minute.
No, there was no sword fight.
I just thought of something. In Our Town, you were the milkman and you had an invisible horse.
That is true.
Now you're dealing with an invisible man. There's a theme here.
Invisible things?
We could do Harvey next.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
You want to? I'd love to see you in a rabbit suit.
On that note, I'm going to give the phone number 4281393 if you would like a pair of tickets to I Hate Hamlet. There's a couple of pairs available for our listeners. Please make a donation this morning to public radio. It would make such a huge difference to us and to me if you could just call now and make a little contribution, a contribution of any kind, to 4281393 or the toll-free number 866. That's the toll-free part. And the rest of it is 907-5737 or 907-KSFR. So this is a play in which, Jonathan Richards, you play a ghost. Is your physical body on stage and he just can't see you, or are you like a
He hasn't shown us one damn
There's
rehearsal.
A certain suspension of disbelief in this play. My character is visible to some and invisible to others. You will have to come to the play to figure out which is which.
Right, but let's take it that, Matt, your character can't see John
Barry. No, I actually
He's
can.
One of the few who can.
Yes, there's not a lot of people on stage who can, and in the process of him coaching me and as John so termed it, bullying me into the role, not only can I see him, but we... You know, in the sword fight and through much of Robert's gags and shtick, have a lot of physical interaction as well in the reality of the play.
Right, it's like that old TV show you and I grew up on, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, with Matt doing the Mrs. Muir part. Which was based on a very nice movie from the late 40s that people tend to forget about.
Right, that really helps us to understand it. No, but the...
I'm not talking anymore.
No, you could. You just go ahead and talk. It's cute.
Make your obscure illusions.
Yeah. It's cute, like a chipmunk, right?
But, I mean, it sounds, the way you're describing it, like this was very much a chapter in John Barrymore's life that was used as the basis of this play, even though it was kind of transformed, because John Barrymore's friend bullied him into taking the part of Hamlet, as this ghost of John Barrymore is doing to Matt Sanford's character. Do you know if, like, he described that?
The basic taking off point for the playwright, Paul Rudnick, who wrote this very, very funny play, was that Rudnick actually rented the apartment that John Barrymore had lived in Greenwich Village.
On purpose?
No, he just answered an ad, came and looked at this apartment, and it was the apartment that John Barrymore had lived in and had made over into a sort of a gothic fantasy. So when Rudnick saw this place, he knew he had to have it, and he took the apartment and... lived there, I'm not sure for how long, for a few years, but it inspired him to, you know, that's where he came up with the idea of the ghost of John Barrymore coming back and...
Well, of course he did, because he was living in his apartment where the ghost was also
ghost
living.
Right, exactly.
So he just transcribed it.
Yeah, exactly.
And he actually had a seance there, which he wrote about.
Seriously?
Yeah, mm-hmm. To bring Barrymore back, which fits into the play.
Yeah,
it is a ghostly comedy. It's perfect for. It's really nice for Halloween.
There's some genuinely. I mean, I wouldn't say horrifying. At least
amusingly scary moments.
Amusingly scary. Yes, there might be some horrifying moments on stage, but it has nothing to do with the script.
That wouldn't be the on purpose part. 4281393, and I'm happy to report that people have started calling, and we are delighted to hear that. Let's keep the phones ringing and make our $1,500 goal for this hour, 4281393.
And what do they have to do to get the two pairs of tickets that are available?
They have to say, I would like one of those two pairs of tickets.
And do they have to have a set number that they're offering?
A figure of donation.
Oh, yes. I believe it's a... I don't know. You have to ask the person who's on the other end.
All right, great.
Just beg for it.
A modest contribution to KSFR. 428-1393. So what are the challenges that you are going through in directing this? I mean, I've seen you direct so many plays that you have written or co-written, and this is the first play I've seen that you've directed that you didn't actually write.
In over 10 years, and that was a challenge because I can't change the script. I can't do a lot of the typical shtick I like to do. There is some. I've managed to get some in. I had to be a little more restrained.
Hijinks. Tomfoolery.
Monkey shines.
Antics. None of that.
There's shenanigans. I was incredibly intimidated by the cast because I'd worked for 10 years with teenagers or young people, and I could easily force them to do outrageous things on stage that these miscreants instead challenged at every step. And, you know, I think we all believe that trying to maintain the balance of reality, much more so than, say, a Robert Knott play, which is so crazy, surrealistic, and slapstick-oriented, even though, as Jonathan said, there's a fantasy element to this. So maintaining that reality in the comedy, but it wasn't as big of a challenge as I thought, because actually all six actors have worked very hard to make sure that's the case, and they've all been concerned about not going into characterization or over-the-top caricature, I mean. So that said, it was pretty stress-free production in terms of dealing with the cast or the design crew, who's pretty darn terrific. We have a great set by Chris Leslie. Skip Rappaport designed really terrific lights, really sets a mood. We've got a terrific stage manager named Lynn Peck, the sort of people you don't usually honor, but Lily Wilson on costumes, and they've all done a really collaborative job. I think it was a really good ensemble that likes and respects one another. I haven't heard any distress at all. I've heard undress in the dressing room, but no distress. Am I right, gentlemen?
I'd say that's right. Yeah,
the undress part certainly is
that,
true.
That is absolutely true. Yeah.
Let's and they talk both, more about that.
They both wear huge cod pieces in the show. Let them tell you about that.
Well, I can't think. It would seem like boasting if I were to.
Yeah, I hate to gloat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. No, let's talk more about the role of cod. No, Robert Knott.
There's something fishy about that remark.
The apartment that the playwright Paul Rudnick moved into that turned out to have been John Barrymore's apartment and was some kind of gothic fantasy. Do you recreate that on the stage?
I believe we have recreated it. I believe, again, Chris Leslie and working with the other designers has done a great job of giving us a medieval castle-type set, a suit of armor and a throne, and all of that's there. I mean, the Andrew character played by Matt has this great line, which we had a preview last night, and got a surprising laugh, actually, just saying this apartment is like a theater set, and it's such a great in-joke. And in the Playhouse, we've had some really good people working on the set and the floors to really transform it in a way that I don't think we've seen in a Playhouse set in a long time. It's there. It really looks like you're stepping back in time.
And it's the kind of thing. By the way, the tickets are gone. People have taken the tickets, so we are delighted callers are calling in for that, but you can still go to the play. And in fact,
why don't we offer a third one?
Oh, you want to offer a third pair?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mary Lynn, can we do that?
Jonathan Richards will pay for it.
All right. If we can do that, it's an administrative matter of getting over to the room and putting that on the sheet that people have to. It's a whole thing, you know.
Oh, it's like Obamacare calling in, and there's all the problems with the sheets, and people don't know what they're doing.
Well, they're crashing the website by calling in, trying to get tickets to.
But they also had the wrong script in some states, like the wrong script. People were calling up for Obamacare, and
they were ending up with
getting
a copy of
I Hate Hamlet.
Yes, it is antics and hijinks, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Let's talk for a moment about the big event. There's a big event tonight, right?
It's the gala event, and we have quite a gala to show up there to hostess it. No, there's a... Remember when you used to have a gala day, John, before you got married?
Robert is trying very hard to entertain you this morning.
And to get those people to call in, because if you call in, I can leave the show if you want me. There's always that joke, isn't there, with my defenders and my detractors, not to mention the dilapidated ones. There is a big gala.
I am so amused.
There is a... That's it.
There is a champagne gala this evening.
Tickets available to the champagne gala?
I haven't checked the box office, but let's say tonight's more expensive than other nights. Champagne gala at 6:30. You get to come and meet me and some of the design crew and some of the actors before they go on stage. And if you pay twice that amount, you don't have to come at all. Otherwise, I know we don't mention ticket prices on the air for this three-week run at the Playhouse on DeVarga Street, but next Thursday is the most inexpensive night if you're really tight for money. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Playhouse is still looking occasionally for ushers and stuff, so you can sometimes call over there and volunteer. I used to do that a lot to go see a lot of theater shows.
If you were good at ushering?
Ushering? I was very good at it. Did I say ushing?
No.
She said ushing, and I thought it was very aptly put.
Oh, that's okay. Usually you're gushing about me.
That's true. It is so true. Should I start?
Yeah.
No, go ahead and talk about the Champagne Gala.
So there's going to be champagne, and I think there's some appetizers, and I have to make a speech. And
celebrity appearances.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Matt.
Are you and Matt going to come out for the gala for 10 minutes?
I'll go out for five, you go out for five.
Fair enough, I'll split it with
you. No, go out together for 10. Let's do a little recreation of the sword fight out there in the lobby.
That's a horrible idea. It's already scary enough as it is on stage.
That's because the man you're fighting is invisible.
That's also true. Yeah.
It seems like in any community theater, somewhere in the back closet is a suit of armor. And you never get to use it because you're doing contemporary plays about neurotic people in New York who live in regular apartments and stuff. And all of a sudden you get to use the suit of armor.
Suit of armor does appear on stage.
It looks like the suit of armor that Mickey Rooney wore. It's about 5 feet, too, but... That's quite all right. It's there. It looks pretty darn good, actually.
It looks very good, and it's always kind of surprising at the Playhouse, especially just the sheer number of cool props and set pieces that are just laying around that you can really use effectively. And the opera has always been great to us. The opera occasionally will rent us some really fantastic set pieces that we took advantage of this time around, so we have some really, really beautiful opera quality set pieces
Correct.
On stage.
However, so. I really want to go ahead and say thank you to Salazar Elementary School. They had the suit of armor sitting in their front hallway for some time.
Is that right?
And I went over and said I'd make a small donation to the PTA, and they said take the armor away and bring them back when you're done. And so Salazar Elementary School has donated the suit of armor. Apparently at the school he comes to life at night and chases like the janitor around. But that hasn't happened at our theater because when they're putting the lights out, I leave.
So
but
that
that's
was
why
the
it's such a short suit of armor because it's for the elementary school. It's a, yeah.
No, it used to be the suit worn by the principal before things became more peaceful here in Santa Fe.
That's a good school with a good principal. She's just joking if you're listening.
428-1393 is the number. It's just about time to go. Anything you guys want to tell us? Well, Robert Knott, you're going to stay and help us with Speaking of the Arts.
Huh?
But anything else you fine gentlemen want to let us know about I Hate Hamlet before we go?
Whoa. Fine gentlemen, and your eyes went immediately to those two.
That's right. Matt Sanford and Jonathan Richards, fine gentlemen.
I would say that the one thing I'd like to emphasize is that this is really one of the best casts, total casts of a play that I've been involved in. There are some really terrific performers, young performers. Erin O'Shaughnessy is really quite wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And Anne Roylance, returning to the stage after a long absence. Lynn Goodwin.
She's hilarious as the realtor.
Just hilarious. And Kev Smith is just a powerhouse of energy and comic timing. It's a cast of six, and there's no weak spot in it.
That means a lot to me that you say that, because I think you're right. And I want to point out before we let Matt have the final say, and that'll give him a minute to think of something, it runs through the 27th of October, right before a Halloween, perfect Halloween show. One or two profanities, but I would say it's okay for kids to see, unless one of my colleagues here says no. Thursday through Saturday nights at 7:30, and Sunday's matinees are 4 p.m. Playhouse is on DeVargas, and the phone number is 988-4262. Matt Sanford, you get the final words.
I'll just say, you know, it's been a real treat to work on this show. I'm really proud of this show and being part of it and working with not just the two gentlemen here with me, but like John said, everyone involved from the cast up through the design crew. And it's a great October Halloween show. It's full of a lot of tenderness, a lot of hilarity, a little bit of spookiness, and as with any show that I do with Robert, a sword fight. So make sure you come see it.
Plus beautiful women in negligees and less.
That is also true.
Really?
Oh, there's some... No, they're not in less, but they are in... No. There's a negligee and there's...
And never less than beautiful.
I would agree with all three ladies. We look pretty... Okay, that's enough. I'm
Jonathan Richards.
Yes,
ma'am. Matt Sanford.
I'm here.
And Robert Knott. The play is called I Hate Hamlet. It's at the Santa Fe Playhouse tonight through the 27th of October. For more tickets, 988-4262 or santafeplayhouse.org. And as you said, it's Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 and then Sundays at 4 o'clock. I know you just said that, but I'm just saying it again because it's my rule to say that.
It is. I stepped on your feet.
No, it's good. My feet don't hurt.
Let's tickle her.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. And we are here with Robert Knott. Speaking of the arts, it's also the KSFR Fun Drive, so we ask you to give a call to 428-1393. Help us meet our $1,500 goal for this hour. And we have another way to sweeten that deal, which is that we just finished giving away all these tickets for I Hate Hamlet, but we have tickets for some other things, which apparently are fantastic. One of them you just heard the spot for, which is Te Amo Argentina, at the Lensic tonight, and we've got a few pairs of tickets for that. And then we also, the Baile Folclórico de Bahia, which is on Wednesday, November 13th at 7 in the evening. And so if you make a contribution of the right size, which they will tell you what that is, I don't do numbers here at the Bacon Company, but anyway, they'll tell you what that is as soon as you call 428-1393. If you make a donation, you can go to those things. And let's especially get people to call for Te Amo Argentina, because that's tonight, and that's tonight at 7:30, and I've heard nothing but good things about that performance. In fact, I might just head over there myself. Robert Knott, what else? What's going on? Do you have any sense of what's going on this weekend?
Let me see here. Well, there's a number of St. John's Concert College series is going on tonight. Did you know that?
No.
It's at 12:10 p.m. I thought it was 12:10 a.m., so I was telling people it's tonight. It's actually in like 3 hours in.
Oh, great.
So pianist David Bulletin and violinist Christina Chen and cellist Dana Winograd are going to perform Mendelssohn and Shostakovich and other guys' names.
Shostakovich.
Well, that's okay with me. 12:10 at the Peterson Student Center today. It's free, so, you know, it's noon. You have nothing to do. Go up to St. John's and hear a lovely afternoon concert.
Excellent.
What do you know about John Tank?
Nothing.
He's a jazz sax player from New York, and he's going to be working with Burt Dalton tonight. And
Burt Dalton, congratulations to Burt Dalton, winner of this year's Mayor's Award for Excellence in the Arts.
Thank you.
Big shout out to Burt. He's wonderful and has made such a huge contribution to this community.
And yeah, he's going to be working with John Trentacosta and Andy Zadronsky. Pardon me, Zadronsky. At 7 o'clock tonight at the Museum Hill Cafe. You got to pay to get in. I'll give you a phone number. 983-6820. Middletown is a theater piece playing over at the Greer Garson Theater at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. 7 o'clock curtain, 988-1234. That means you can call the Lensic, and that show runs through Sunday.
Excellent. Now, Collected Works Bookstore always has lots of things going on. This Sunday at 11 o'clock, Journey Santa Fe presents Mark Rudd. He's a nonviolent activist. He's a math instructor and author. He was an early organizer for both Students for Democratic Society and the Weather Underground in the 1960s. And he is fabulous. He wrote a memoir of his time in the Weather Underground and escaping and going into hiding. And he's just a tremendous activist and has a great deal to say about democracy and the lack thereof and how to activate for real democracy in America today. One of the most inspiring and fabulous people ever. And also at Collected Works, poets Henry Shukman and Roger Kamenetz are going to be at Collected Works on Monday at 6 in the evening. Henry Shukman, a wonderful poet and author. He has won a lot of prizes both for poetry and for fiction. And he will be reading from his new collection of poetry, Archangel. Roger Kamenetz is the author of The Jew in the Lotus, which is an international bestseller that became a PBS documentary. And Stalking Elijah, which received the National Jewish Book Award. And then Thursday evening, poet John Brandy will be celebrating his 70th birthday with the launch of his newest poetry collection called The World, The World. And his poems were first published as part of they were hand-sewn mimeograph editions in the 1960s when he was living in the Andes. Brandy in the Andes. Anyway, he's a very distinguished poet. He's a wonderful poet. So lots of good stuff happening at Collected Works Bookstore.
CCA's Munoz Waxman Gallery has an interesting show that's profiled on today's Paso Tiempo called Atomic Surplus. It's a multidisciplinary group show surveying the global nuclear legacy, including, you know, Tony Price and the Black Hole, which is like an exhibit of stuff that the Black Hole Salvage Yard collected over the years. what was his name? Ed Grothas, the guy that used to run the Black Hole up there.
Yeah, that's right.
Sort of as an anti-nuclear movement. The reception's tonight, 6 to 8. There's a very small suggested donation to get in. And the show runs through early next year. There's plenty of time to see it. I'm going to get over there. And there's some good stories on that today's Paso Tiempo on page 36 and 38.
Did you ever used to go up and buy stuff there?
I never bought anything there. I went up there a lot, though. I loved wandering through there. I loved talking to Ed. I profiled him a couple times in the paper. He was always funny. And you could get lost. Like, you could go in there as a little kid and just be like, oh, my God, what is this stuff? Some of
yeah.
it I was afraid to touch.
I know. I used to get stuff up there and make weird little art projects out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. You're giggling again. I'm not even tickling.
428. Yes, you are. 428-1393 is the number. And if you would like to make a contribution in the name of Robert Knott, or in honor of Robert Knott, I would like to honor you, Robert Knott, for all the years that you came here every single Friday and six years out of the 10 years that I've been doing this show.
And I keep meeting people who either say to me, I miss you so much on the show, please go back, or people who say, thank God you're off that show. Now Mary Charlotte has her dignity back.
I don't think I ever gave up my dignity, but if I did, I'm not aware of it. 428-1393, but I miss you too, and it's been great having the others on too. Rob DeWalt and the others are fantastic, but
I'm Robert Knott.
But you're Robert Knott. You are the Robert Knott, and I would like to also say that Opsit Books has lots of stuff going on. Charlie Trumbull and Marion Olson, New Mexico haiku poets, will read and sign their books on Saturday, tomorrow at 4:30 at Tome on the Range on Bridge Street in Las Vegas. And they've got two stores, one in Las Vegas, New Mexico, and one in Santa Fe. The Las Vegas number is 454-9944. And then Al Risk, author of Sabrina's Widow, will read from and sign copies of his work on Tuesday, the 15th of October at 4:30 at Opsit Books here in Santa Fe at San Busco Center. It's a youth-friendly event, and that number is 428-0321 or opsit.com.
If you pick up Paso Tiempo, there's a great cover image of the boxer Johnny Tapia, and there's a brand new documentary about him that's screening at the Lenzic Thursday night as part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, which is now, I'm assuming, in its like fourth or fifth year.
Yeah, they're doing great.
They've really come along and sort of carved out their own niche. And so the director as well as Teresa Tapia are going to be in attendance Thursday night for that event at the Lenzic. But the festival itself, you can visit Santa Fe Independent Film Festival.com. Call 988-1234 or read today's Paso Tiempo to learn more about it. I think that's going to be great. It's just this great, terrific black and white image on the front. In fact, if I can find out who the photographer is, I will give him at least a note because I thought it was a great shot. Also, if you like, you can go to Gerald Peters Gallery tonight and see Presence, Place, and Perspective, the work of four artists. The reception featuring those artists is from 5 to 7 tonight. The show runs through the end of November at Gerald Peters over on Paseo de Parrata Street.
And for those of you who have an orientation toward spirituality and Buddhism, tonight there is a public talk with Geshe Thubten Sharab, which is at 7 o'clock at the Center for Spiritual Living, the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living on Camino de los Marques, right near the Santa Fe Baking Company. It's his only public talk scheduled for this year. It's open to the public. So come check it out tonight. It should be really quite wonderful.
Do you know much about Slate Santa Fe's annual spread event?
Yeah, a little bit. Tell us about it.
Well, there's a dinner, and they've been going for about 3 years. I think they started in 2011. And they basically help individuals and groups get their projects together by helping to raise funds through microfunding by local residents. And the community dinners feature people who get to listen to the proposals by the finalists for the grant, and they get to cast their vote for who they want. I think tonight there's going to be seven finalists. It's at 7 o'clock tonight at Site Santa Fe, at the Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion across the street from Site Santa Fe. You can call site at 989-1199 to learn more, and there is a pretty darn good story by Michael about DeMarco in today's Busted Tampa on page 46.
Excellent. We're going to take just a tiny break to get a report from the control room. I think the phones have been ringing. We are at least halfway to our goal, or not quite halfway to our goal, of $1,500 for this hour. So please give a call to the KSFR Fund Drive, 428-1393. And please honor my dear friend and longtime partner in crime, Robert Knott.
Yes, partner in crime.
Yes.
We have many, many thanks here. Irene Hoffman.
Oh, thank you. Speaking of Site Santa Fe.
I was just going to say Site Santa Fe. Tom.
Thank you.
John Lyles.
Yay.
Alice Van Buren.
Thank you.
Judy Hendricks.
Yay.
And Shelley Longmire.
Wonderful.
Argos McCollum.
Thank you, Argos.
And Jean Simonoff's dog, Alice B.
Toklas.
Okay, yes, in honor of your dog.
Oh, thank you.
And,
yes.
Oh, yes, and then there's Abigail Ryan.
Oh, thank you.
And a particular devoted fan, but then there are many others who just said absolutely they love you.
Well, you know, thank you, and to all of you who don't want to put your names on the air, you can always register as either anonymous, or you can just do it in honor of Robert Knott, or, you know, your favorite pet, whatever works for you. But please give a call and support the show, 428-1393, 428-1393. And lots of good stuff going on this weekend. What else do we have? On October 12th, what's that, tomorrow, from noon to midnight at the Mine Shaft Rail Yard in Madrid, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Joe West Psychedelic Folk and Bluegrass Festival.
Yeehaw.
Family Lotus, Joe West and the Santa Fe Review, Archie West,
Todd
and the Fox,
is be there.
Pa Cole and the Clinkers,
it's
Hot
like
Honey.
All day, noon to midnight.
Yeah, all day long. Sage and Jared's Happy Gland Band. I'm overwhelmed by that title. Rio Grande Family Band, Will and the Wants, Broom Dust Caravan, and more.
At the Mine Shaft Tavern, Madrid.
At the Mine Shaft.
Kids 13 and under free, so you can bring your kids.
And excellent.
Did we mention ZZ Top's coming to town?
No way.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember them?
Sure. They've been around since the beginning of time, or at least the beginning of the 70s.
Do you like men that wear beards like that?
No.
Oh, all right. That's why I shaved for you.
Thank you. That was awfully nice.
You're welcome. It's 8 o'clock tomorrow night in the Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino up off 84-285. Check out tickets.com for more information. And did you mention that there's a book talk by Kathy Gilbert and Terry Reed?
No, tell us.
Listen to this. This is interesting. Just Us Chickens. That's the book, and it's from. They're going to do it. I think this is great. In the feed bin. On Alameda Street, 1202 West Alameda Street,
okay.
1 to 3 o'clock on Saturday. I just think that's great. I mean, I honestly don't know what it's about, but Just Us Chickens, and they're doing it in a feed store.
I love it.
I love it, too. So go there 1 to 3 o'clock on Saturday.
It's a centrally located venue, too.
It is. It's not far off St. Francis, near Gonzales Community School. So that's tomorrow, 1 to 3 o'clock, Just Us Chickens.
And the Center for Spiritual Living Healing Fair is 30 healers and group events and raffle and fun and healing for all Sunday, October 13th from 1 to 5 at the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living. So lots of stuff going on over there. You can go to santafecsl.org for more information.
I've got to plug Teatro Paraguas, which always does really interesting bilingual theater. That's at 3205 Calle Marie. They're doing Dos Patrias. La Poesía de Cuba, staging works by Cuban poets, accompanied by music and song in both Spanish and English, running through this weekend. Actually, it's through October 20th. I know their Sundays are Pay What You Wish, 2 o'clock matinees. I cannot recommend this group more. 424-1601. Did you talk about the Wildcat coal mines?
No.
That's pretty cool. We're also going down near Madrid here. On 2 o'clock on Sunday, historian Bill Baxter is going to talk about the how the town of Madrid got, you know, formed. I think it's going to be fascinating. It's 2 o'clock in Cerritos Hills State Park Visitor Center, which is about 15, 16 miles south of Santa Fe, right off New Mexico 14. You take Cerritos Road straight down, you're going to run into it.
Excellent.
If it's a beautiful day, it's going to be a beautiful autumn drive. 474-0196. They're taking donations. And one more time, that's 2 o'clock Sunday. Drive on down to Cerritos if you want to learn about the beginning of Madrid into the Cerritos Hills State Park Visitor Center.
Love it.
Me too.
So I got a note from the good folks at the Jean Cocteau Cinema, and tonight they're opening Wicker Man, the newly restored original version, and Escape from Tomorrow. And then the late night show, which is at 11 o'clock, is Ninja Terminator, and that's today and tomorrow only.
And The Wicker Man is a really creepy British picture from the early 70s. It's strange and a little sexy and really frightening. It's got Christopher Lee and a very young Edward Woodward, and there's a really good piece on it in today's Posse Tempo, by the way. A scary movie. I'm really nervous about that.
Really?
The Jean Cocteau is going to play Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein in a couple of weeks.
Isn't it cute how you just get all excited?
But it's Abbott Costello and Frankenstein.
Exactly.
And the Wolfman's in it too, and Dracula.
The Santa Fe chapter of the Native Plant Society is doing a presentation on Wednesday, the 16th of October. It's a program, it's a cooking demonstration called Not Your Mama's Nopalitos. Jim Hastings, also known as the Gringo Gourmet, takes cooking prickly pear to a new level with his non-traditional recipes. It's at 6:30 at the Christ Lutheran Church in the triangle of Old Pecos Trail, St. Michael's Drive, and Arroyo Chamiso. It's 1701 Arroyo Chamiso. You have to... Do you have to... It's free and open to the public. Oh, you don't have to reserve. You can just come early to enjoy refreshments. For more information, 920-5105, Native Plant Society.
Cody Harrell's doing a production of The Other. It's a performance art piece. I really don't know anything else about it. And it's at the Santa Fe Performing Arts, Armory for the Arts on Old Pecos Trail, tonight and tomorrow at 8 p.m. You can check out sfperformingarts.org or call 984-1370. It does contain nudity, just so you know. And the Botanical Bot Garden at the Museum Hill is open through October, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock most days, or 10 to 4. 10 to 4, I think, later in the year. It's off Camino Lejo. It's a really nice place to visit on a beautiful autumn day. I have a feeling we're going to have a very nice autumn-like weekend, although I haven't heard the weather report.
The number is 428-1393, and we have not yet reached or even come close to our $1,500 goal, but we are getting there because lots of people are giving smaller contributions. But we, you know, this is the thing. We so appreciate. I would rather have four $25 contributions than one big one. Not the big ones are nice too, but it just means that you are saying, I can afford $25. That's what I can afford. Here you go. I'm making my vote for KSFR. I'm calling in. We so appreciate that.
Yeah, many grassroots organizations really benefit from small grassroots type donations. And, you know, I often say, particularly with money being tight and the economy being what it is, whatever you can give is really terrific for KSFR, your community radio station.
428-1393. Let's really reach our $1,500 goal. I mean, maybe we might need a couple of larger contributions, and one way you can do that is give your $10 a month contribution or your $15 a month contribution. Those are called sustaining memberships, and they help us tremendously. And just a few of those will help us get us to our goal for this hour of $1,500. Please do it in honor of Robert Knott. I wanted to let people know that Craig Barnes, who has been for a long time a KSFR radio host, he's a negotiator, author, playwright, and he will address the impact of NGOs, non-government organizations, on international relations at a World Affairs discussion luncheon presented by the Santa Fe Council on International Relations. It's Wednesday from 11:30 to 1:30 at Bishop's Lodge Ranch, Bishop's Lodge, and let's see. There's a price for members, a price for non-members. It includes lunch, so you have to reserve by today. Look at sfcir.org or call 982-4931.
What do you know about Cotton Mather and those Puritans?
You tell us.
I'm asking.
I love Puritans. I love sleeping on hard wooden boards and, you know, just singing hymns.
I was hoping you would know something about him because there's a lecture by Lib O'Brien, who is a descendant of Cotton Mather's brother,
okay.
Timothy. At 1 o'clock Thursday at St. John's United Methodist Church over there on Old Pecos Trail. You got to pay to get in, but if you're interested in Cotton Mather and those Puritans, that's on Thursday at 1 o'clock. Call 982-9274.
What else is going on? Do we have? Let's get a little report from the control room. I think that would be a good thing to do. Oh, do we have we given away the tickets? Let's talk about that for a second.
Which
we want to give away tickets to Te Amo Argentina at 7:30 tonight at the Lensic. And we have, I think, three pairs available. So give a call. If those haven't been claimed yet, that is a real deal. 4281393. And let's get a little report from the control room and let's find out what's going on.
Sure, I get my headphones on here. Yeah, there's everybody's on a phone right now.
Good.
Beyond this room, even. And we have several people already to thank and more coming.
Okay.
Carol Johnson, who absolutely loves you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
And Nancy Bellotti.
Yay.
The Crane family.
Excellent.
Jennifer Padilla.
Did you say Nancy Pelosi?
Bellotti.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nancy called, but she wanted to be anonymous.
Ah, yes.
Blew her cover.
Yeah, she really keeps a low profile.
Elise Gent.
Oh, thank you.
Albert Migliori.
Albert Migliori. He's fabulous physicist.
And
yes.
Jack Lehman.
Thank you all. Wonderful, wonderful people, some of whom have been on this show. We love it. Keep calling because we want to get that $1,500 goal by the end of this hour, which is in about 8 minutes. And I have to say, the gentlemen at the next table are louder than ever. Have you noticed that, Robert Knott?
I'm just staring at you, and all other noises just drift out of my head as I look and gaze into your beautiful eyes.
Oh, well, of course.
I think to myself, in just 7 or 8 minutes, we can take off these headphones and...
Right, of course, yes, whatever you say.
Whatever I dream about.
But have we given Mary Lynn one more thing? Sorry, making poor Mary Lynn put their headphones on. But have we given away the tickets to Te Amo Argentina? Don't know. We'll find that out. But that is a performance so worth going to tonight at the Lensic at 7:30. So if you are in Santa Fe and you haven't given a donation yet, this is the time to do it and take some tickets to that wonderful, wonderful performance. All right.
There's a preschooler's story hour at 10:45 a.m. weekly on Wednesdays and Thursdays at Collected Works on Gosteo Street if you want to bring your preschooler there and have stories told to you. I'd like to go myself, but I have to work.
You are a preschooler, aren't you? I always think of you more as a 13-year-old boy.
Oh, man. People wonder why I don't come on the show and stuff like that.
There's so many different kinds of arrested development. And you show us all of them in different ways.
Oh, boy. If anything develops between us, I will get arrested. Okay, we got some volunteers, the groups that need volunteers. St. Elizabeth's looking for help. Contact Rosario over there, 982-6611. The Rail Yard Stewards Yardmasters are developing new project ideas, and they're looking for some help. You can call Alana over there, 316-3596. And the Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe want to train individuals to help adults learn to read, write, and speak English. I'll give you a phone number, 428-1353. Finally, if you're a musician and you want to play in the bandstand next year, applications to perform are being accepted now through the end of November. Visit santafebandstand.org.
And at the Lensic National Theater Live, fall 2013.
Oh, yeah, I think it's Othello.
Othello.
Yeah.
Othello this Wednesday. There's a lot of things going on this Wednesday. It's at 7 o'clock, starring Adrian Lester and Rory Kinnear. And Macbeth is coming up in a few weeks, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But in any case.
Yeah, but don't ever say that word in a theater.
What?
Macbeth. You can't say it in a theater.
Why not?
Bad luck on the production and everything. No, there's histories of this thing.
What do you mean?
You never say it. Otherwise, you have to turn around 3 times, pour salt over your shoulder, and, recite a rosary or something.
What if you're in Macbeth? What if they're doing a production of Macbeth? What, do you have to mouth it?
That's why I never act in those shows. That's
what,
why
you
I
don't
never
have enough
that
salt?
Part.
We're going to have to get the ghost of John Barrymore to come hit you over the head and get you to play Macbeth and indeed to say Macbeth.
All right. Don't say it in the theater. Seriously, people won't like you.
Macbeth.
It's okay. You're in a radio cafe. It's not, it's not like the ghost is going to come cut off our heads here and like serve us bad coffee.
We are so close to our $1,500 goal.
Really?
Actually, we're not that close. We're about $400 away.
Well, if I move about 4 feet closer, maybe you'll get it.
If we can get $400 contributions or $8 $50 contributions.
Or $40 $10 contributions. I know my math.
You do. You're so smart. And we can go. We can do this until the end of the news. Yeah. So 428-1393 is the number.
Why?
What are you looking at me like that?
Because
for?
When you compliment me, somehow it still comes out as sort of a, you know, dealing
what?
With the dunce in the back of the classroom.
What?
I'm so smart. Hey, the Abiquiu Studio Tour. That's where George O'Keefe used to live. All weekend long. Self-guided, 10 to 5. Beautiful day. Drive up to Abiquiu. Abiquiu, ho, Abiquiu. Check out abiquiustudiotour.org. I just love to drive to O'Keefe country. I like that song from Glen Campbell. That was good.
I like Abiquiu.
Yeah, me too.
Abiquiu is a wonderful place.
Santa Fe Community Orchestra, did you mention them?
No.
2:30 Sunday, conducted by Oliver Prezant, performing music by John Alden Carpenter and William Grant Still and Aaron Copland, who we all know. Sunday, 2:30, St. Francis Auditorium, New Mexico Museum of Art. No charge, free. 2:30, St. Francis, come on, go down there, support them. 466-4879. Good story in today's Pasatiempo by James Keller on this here group.
Yay, James Keller.
Yo.
428-1393, tonight and tomorrow, David Geist at the Geist Cabaret at Pranzo. And tomorrow he will be there with Julie Trujillo. Always fun to go up there and have some good Italian food.
If you like the Borscht Belt comedy, then the movie When Comedy Went to School is at the CCA. Jonathan Richards, of all people, reviewed it in today's Pasatiempo. He gives it a mixed review, and it sounds like the film sort of loses track sometimes, but he mentions that there's a lot of great archival footage of all these great Borscht Belt comedians and stories by people like Woody Allen and Billy Crystal, Joan Rivers, and even Jerry Lewis, so Mel Brooks, etc. So CCA, When Comedy Went to School, I got to go see that.
You definitely have to go see that.
What do you know about Love, Marilyn, the movie over there at CCA?
I don't.
I think it's a new documentary about Marilyn Monroe, of all people. I actually don't know anything either. I don't think we even got to review it yet in the Pasatiempo. But if you are a Marilyn Monroe fan, CCA for Love, Marilyn. Do you like her? Did you like her?
Yeah. I do like her.
Yeah, me too.
I think she's one of those people who was branded as a superficial person, and she had a lot more depth than we really got to see.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Hey, we've got a comment from a listener, and I think Marilyn, I just got a little note.
Yeah, she converted over to KSFR because she said there's more lighthearted people here on KSFR. It's more balanced, and she absolutely